Look, Matt.
Where? Oh, I see.
Wow.
Oh, and look over there.
Wow, is that culture?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
Las Culturistas.
Ding dong! Las Culturistas calling!
Hmm. Well, here's the thing. Y'all are probably feeling some type of way, either positive or negative right now. Wouldn't you agree, Bowen?
I would agree, because this is a fun little time capsule. This is maybe one of the last pieces of recorded media pre-2020 general election.
Ooh. Yeah. Yeah, we are recording this on Monday, November 2nd. Tomorrow is Tuesday, November 3rd. That is election day. And we don't know how everything shook out.
Things are probably maybe even shaking out still.
Yeah, currently. And we're all in it together. We hope we're feeling good right now in the future, but if we're not, you're in luck, because nothing about this podcast going forward will be about the election. This is a quote-unquote safe space, as I believe white women call them.
What, you said that we have to touch on some current events before we get going on the mission of today's episode. What are you talking about?
Yeah, well, two things. One is Ariana Grande's positions, which I feel like initially my idea for the episode, or my pitch to Bowen, was why don't we deep dive on positions? And I received the following response from Bowen. Let me think. What about, and then he kind of, so it was clear that he didn't want to do that. But I do want to know your thoughts on the album.
I think it's a fine album. I think it's great.
Only fine?
I think I listened to it the first time and I was really enjoying it and satisfied. But then there was something like, it wasn't sticking in certain, like there are certain tracks that I really enjoyed. But then I was like, what is it? And then I don't want this to be a thing where I'm informed by the critical response of something. But I do feel like the thing that was articulated by some writers was that it's safe for Ari, but she is fully within her power to like release this kind of album, which I love that it's like a horny vibe the entire time and it's sustained the entire time.
I don't feel it's safe. I guess I'm on the other end of this. I think like the criticism I'm hearing is that there's not a lot of quote unquote growth, but for me it's like there's a lot of lyrical growth. I mean, I think this is the funniest she's been. I think this is the horniest and sexiest she's been, and I also think like, you know, I feel like it's the most fun she's had in a while. If the album has weak spots for me, it's in the collabs. I actually think the just Ariana songs are better, and I actually think that the album really picks up in the second half. Like all my favorite tracks are in the second half of the album, but I love this album, and it really kind of is a throwback to me, to like late 90s R&B, like early aughts R&B, and I like R&B pop from that time, and I really like it. But it's weird, like the response to this has not been as emphatic as I think it was for Sweetener and Thank You Next, which I think are great, but not as good as this one. I don't know.
Well, I listened to Thank You Next again, and I remember kind of being lukewarm on it when it first came out, but I listened back to it now, and I'm like, oh, there's some like classic songs on this.
Yeah, I mean, for sure it's a great album. I just think like for me, I was pretty done for when she said, I've been drinking coffee. Like,
you says, love the lyric, you try to keep it squeaky.
Oh, you know I keep it squeaky. And I would like to think I keep it squeaky.
I'm sure you do. But look, I feel like Positions as an album, will it develop the patina over time that like Thank You Next has? Sweetener, I feel like, hasn't aged that well, but Thank You Next, I think, has aged wonderfully. I feel like Positions is sort of at the same frequency for most of the album, and that's why I'm like, will we look back on it and be like, wow, one of Ari's best works? But I came on the thread and said, wow, this is her best album since Dangerous Woman, which I take back now, unfortunately.
It's so funny because usually it takes me a while to warm up to Ariana Grande albums because I am looking for like that bop right off the bat. And even when Positions, the song, came out, I was like, okay, cool. Yeah, interested to hear the rest of the album. And now I like Positions more. Every single time I listen to Positions, I like it more and more and more. I'm having an interesting relationship to this album because I love it so much sooner than I usually love Ari.
What are you? Are you swatting at something?
I was cleaning the weed that I just put in my bowl off the table. And Ariana's album, it's a really good smoke and fuck album. So I'm just saying, maybe you're not enjoying it now, but wait till you get your, how do we say this? Dick hard, vagina wet. You know, anything you got going on ready for sexual activity, And then turn on positions.
You've had this experience yourself?
Can I confirm or deny?
Oh.
Can I confirm or deny? But I'm just saying, I knew from the jump that this was going to be that kind of record.
Mm.
And we are very excited about it. And this, I'm less excited about something else. And this is a fucking bummer.
Oh no, what is this?
I'm so sad about the passing of Nikki McKibben. I mean, this is so devastating.
That was tragic.
She, for everyone that doesn't know, was the third place contestant on the very first season of American Idol. She kind of was like the original redheaded rocker of that show, which kind of went through many, many iterations of her. So she really was a type on that show that remained for many years. And she kind of was famous for kind of overstaying her welcome on the show. She kind of beat out some, I guess, more iconic contestants like Tamira Gray. And she was like the first, like, how are they still on contestant? But I will say this, looking back at her old performances, she actually had a cool voice and a cool vibe. She just was doing something different than everyone else was at the time. Because the show at the time was kind of very much focused on finding in female singers like the next Celine Dion. Like it was very much the era of the extended belt. You know, the highest note would be the best singer, quote unquote. And she was doing something different. She had like a rock vocal and she seemed like an unruly presence. She definitely had stage charisma, and maybe go check out some of her old performances, such as I'm the Only One by Melissa Etheridge and Mary Jane by Alanis Morissette and Black Velvet by Alana Miles. I mean, it was the first time I had ever heard the song Black Velvet, and I love that song to this day. Yeah, so she passed away of an aneurysm at age 42, and so rest in peace. That's very tragic, and I know that she kind of had a rough go of things over the past decade and a half or so very bummed about that.
But she like left such a meaningful mark on our sort of musical knowledge. Like I wouldn't have had like an entry point into like that kind of female rock vocal had it not been for her. Yeah, I think that was the first time I heard Black Velvet too.
Yeah, and you know, it's so interesting because I actually credit like a knowledge of music that I have to American Idol, because, you know, and I think this is kind of maybe true for many of our contemporaries and people that are our age. Like, I don't know if I would have known so much Motown had they not done a Motown week, you know, which felt cool.
I didn't know who Gladys Knight was until she showed up as a guest judge in season two. And I was like, oh my God, I've heard that Midnight Train to Georgia song before. And that's the woman. And she has all these other songs. Like, and who are the Pips? And like, it was, American Idol, I think, was a really, really actually solid primer, whatever, on American music. And speaking of which, how's this for a segue?
I mean, this segue. It makes me,
rest in power, Nikki McKibben. Makes you aroused. Want to put on positions.
She'd be proud of what we're doing today.
She'd be proud. A couple things are going on. This is the end of our Matt and Bowen Get High trilogy, I would say. And it's not to say that we won't do it again in the future, but I think as a serialized event, this is the third and final consecutive episode of where it's just me and Matt, no guest, and we get high. So there's that. But then maybe as you've been able to tell from the title of this episode, we are going to undertake something, I think, very ambitious. Matt, how do you want to explain this?
Well, so basically, a lot of times, actually, after we talk about music, some people will get in the DMs and be like, y'all need to make a playlist, like a Las Culturistas playlist, where we've talked about so much music and people want one place to find it all. So we actually are kind of freeform going to put together a playlist right now called Matt and Bowen's Infinite Playlist, The New Standards. And this is going to be a public playlist that anyone can, you know, sign on up for.
And I think this is going to end up in chaos, no doubt, but it's a collaborative playlist for all of our listeners to contribute to. But these are going to be the songs that are, as you've heard Matt say, the new standards, the songs that go into the new American songbook. Is that correct?
Yes. So,
and Hans is asking, head of content, Hans is asking, Bowen, are you making a custom cover for this playlist? Absolutely, I am.
You know, Bowen Yang be making custom covers.
Thank you, Hans. And Hans says, OMG, they're so good. Thank you, Hans. This one will be fun.
I love whenever Bowen Yang gets custom.
Okay, so what is the mission here, Matt? Let's drill down deeper into the mission before. Well, let's get our point of view very clear and solid for us and for the listener, for the reader, before we start to add to this playlist. This is very exciting. I feel anticipation.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I would say that our goal for the playlist is for it to be the best playlist of all time, obviously, and to make everyone happy that listens to it. No one will have any criticism of it. So that's one of our goals. It's a lofty goal, but I think we can do it. And I would love for every single artist that we shout out on this playlist to reach out to us with praise. And so I would say that those are sort of the goals, hashtag goals, I believe, as white women say, of the podcast. What would you say, Bowen?
I would say I would agree with all of those points. And I would just also want to maybe put out there the, again, lofty goal of having almost every single artist, musical artist that has ever lived represented on this playlist.
Yeah. And I also just want to just preface right now, this is not going to be like a quote unquote cool playlist.
Oh, no.
We don't care. I'm not, there's not going to be like any Grimes on this. You understand? Like,
oh, yes.
Is Grimes cool? Is that a good example?
I think Grimes is cool, maybe. I mean, Grimes's politics would endanger the lives of a lot of the people listening to this, perhaps. She's certainly endangering my life by being married to that man.
Elon?
Are they not married, are they? I don't even know.
Yeah, it's Rule of Culture number 11. Grimes is endangering Bowen's life.
That's true. And you know what else is true? Hans is telling me to do this, and thank you, Hans. We have to tell you, the reader, where and how you can find the playlist before we start. And that is, it's going to be a public, collaborative Spotify playlist. We will do our best to refresh it, and I will convert it to an Apple Music playlist as well, but it might not be a real time. It might not track the additions as well, but we will give you the initial starter pack, starter deck of songs in the playlist on Apple Music, and I will try to periodically update it. But, you know, if we're opening this playlist up to our many listeners, and we love you very much, you know, things might get a little bloated, wouldn't you say?
I have to say, I actually hate this idea and don't think it should be collaborative.
Well, then you put it out there. I mean, I thought it was just going to be me and you, but now you were the one who would open the doors.
I didn't say that. Did I say that?
Yes, you did. You absolutely did.
No, well, I take it back. I don't think that any old ho should be able to come along and add a thing. I think this is collaborative in that me and you are collaborating.
Oh, okay.
Honey, I don't trust them. I love them.
I have an idea.
What?
There's going to be this playlist, and then there's going to be that is not collaborative, and I'm going to start another playlist that are audition songs, that are songs that you want to throw in the running.
Yes.
To be on the playlist.
That's cool.
And they're going to be duplicate song ads, but I'm just going to filter it so that I see whatever songs have the most contributions, hits, whatever, those will be potentially in the running to be added into the songbook.
Yeah. And it's going to be called Las Culturistas Infinite Playlist : go ahead, give it a shot .. That's when that one's going to be called. Go ahead, give it a shot. I mean, it's like, you know, you let the kids try and then you see.
So I'm very excited for this, Matt. We have not come in.
Oh, thrilled.
We have not really come in with our sort of pre-biased or inherent biases musically. Although Matt did come in hot on this Zoom and said, why is Hailee Steinfeld the queen of pop? The way Hailee Steinfeld is the queen of pop?
So first of all, it has to be said, Hailee Steinfeld is kind of a queen of pop, and we actually have an apology to make.
We have a sincere apology to make.
This actually happened a few years ago.
Yes.
We got on this podcast, actually it was a live podcast taping we were doing at the Bell House. I don't remember the date. I'm going to say like probably around 2017, something like that. I don't remember exactly, but maybe it was our third I Don't Think So Honey Live, but anyway, we got on the mic real hot. And sometimes when we're in a live setting, we do Matt and Bowen, they get a little carried away, the Las Culturistas, and they sort of say things that are crazy. And it ends up in a recorded episode of Las Culturistas. But what we had said on this episode was that Hailee Steinfeld was a Trump voter, that we had a well-placed source that said Hailee Steinfeld, quote, couldn't stop talking about Trump on the set of Pitch Perfect 2. We have been sort of reached out to by some Hailee fans who have sort of given the receipts that this is not true. And so we have to retract this. Hailee Steinfeld is not a Trump voter, but she is a queen of pop.
I just want to apologize again on my own behalf and our behalf as a duo. We're so sorry for any emotional harm this may have caused to Haley or her fans. We love her. We love her very much.
And damning labels can really hurt people. And so we have to sort of retract that and say that Haley Steinfeld is not, we're going to say not a Trump voter, but she is on the list. She's on the playlist.
Yes.
With the song Love Myself. She is on the playlist with the song Love Myself. This song famously did not make the top 200 list of culture, but this is different. And she, Love Myself, is on the playlist.
You would think that it might be too early to add another Haley Steinfeld song, but I really, really love Rock Bottom very, very much. So I'm going to add that as well.
Rock Bottom is on the list. We're on the right side of Rock Bottom.
Rock Bottom.
And here's the thing about Haley. You actually are thinking that it might be too early to add another Haley song to the list.
You might be thinking.
It's not too early because what actually goes on the list is the song I Love Yous, which samples No More I Love Yous by Annie Lennox. And I like that. And so it's on the list. And so we've got three Haley Steinfeld songs, which makes her not only the reigning champion of the list. And we forgot to say this, but there will be a champion of the list at the end. But she's also now in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. So congratulations to Haley. She's the queen of pop.
She's the queen of pop and an inductee in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame.
And the champion of the list so far. So she's already got three titles. And to know that in this moment she's the current reigning queen of pop is really huge. So congratulations to Haley Steinfeld. Now, I actually, I'm immediately sort of pulled in a certain direction. But what are you thinking? Because it's your turn to add something.
Okay, so my turn to add something now, and this is, of course, the new... Okay, can we get to the bottom of this? They're new standards. It's not the new American songbook, because that feels very... That feels wrong to me. It should be new standards, new songs that everyone should know, and that should define our generation.
Absolutely. So every song here defines a generation, which... I know it is your turn, but because you use this example, can I just shout out one thing?
Yeah, what? But I want to put in a song, though.
Go put in a song then.
Okay, I'm putting in a song. It's by one of my favorite artists. I truly do genuinely think is a generation defining artist.
Go
Charlie XCX, Vroom Vroom.
Charlie XCX, Vroom Vroom. And it's actually so funny that you say that because some people might think it's too soon to add another Charlie song to the list. But actually, we just checked in and it's actually not too soon. And that's why we're adding I Don't Want to Know by Charlie XCX to the list.
Oh my God.
You love this song.
I love this song.
Know.
I mean, Fleetwood Mac, who? I Don't Want to Know. That Fleetwood Mac song called I Don't Want to Know. I Don't Want to Know That. Are you adding it to the... I'm not refreshing the playlist enough.
I'm adding... Sorry, I just got so excited that
you
Charlie
have to
XCX,
do it in real time. I have to be able to keep up. I have to be able to watch these come in live.
I completely agree with you. And so there we have literally making a run for champion of the list, Charlie XCX with two, Haley Steinfeld with three. So we have a sort of tight race on our hands right now.
Yes.
And we didn't even know it was also a competition in this way, but all of a sudden it suddenly has become that. You know what I mean?
It suddenly has. Is it my turn?
It actually is your turn because I just got so excited about my turn. And to think I still have this standard on the back burner, but you go ahead and go.
I'm going to add, and so far we've only added white women, and I'm going to keep that trend going.
As white women say.
Let's
keep that trend going. White women say that.
They do say that. I'm going to add a white woman played by another white woman. There's a lot of metaphysical stuff going on here. This is Ashley O on a roll. O on a roll. Yes.
Actually, that belongs, as a new standard. That is a new standard. And if you ever see a gay man that hears Honor Roll come out in a public space, the poppers come out quicker than he did in his life. That's for sure. It took him years to come out of the closet, but it takes seconds for the poppers to come out of the knapsack fanny pack and right onto the noses of many gay Americans worldwide when Honor Roll comes on.
This younger generation of new queers coming up, I mean, they really have it not easier, but they're able to arrive at some sort of realization much more quickly with the help of a song like On a Roll by Ashley O. They hear it, they go, I have to come out as whatever my queerness is. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yes, and as the Poppers as well. And, you know, I would also say the thing about Ashley O is, this is crazy, actually Miley Cyrus.
I didn't know who was playing her until...
Oh, my God.
Until you just said it.
Yeah, it's Mile.
It's Mile.
And let me say that she really transformed on that one, which is funny because she was famously on a show where she transformed and sort of flip-flop between, you know, Hannah Montana and Miley Cyrus, who she really is.
Yes.
So we see her sort of revisiting that theme in the song On a Roll.
I'm getting word, Matt, that it is actually too early to include another Ashley O song, of which there's only one. So
yes,
that exists at least in Spotify. Maybe in the Black Mirror universe, there are many more. Yeah. I would imagine that Ashley O has built a career off of many hit songs, not just two.
Yes, yes.
So, yes. But I am getting word that it's too early to include another Ashley O song. So I'm sorry, you are not allowed to include another Ashley O song.
That's fine, because I actually wasn't going to add an Ashley O song at this time or a Miley Cyrus song. So even her alter ego isn't getting one. And I'm certainly not going to add any Hannah Montana to the list, because we actually can announce at this time no Hannah Montana songs will be on the playlist. That's actually,
actually really controversial, because songs like... See You Again. I mean, it should be a new standard.
But the thing is, isn't that a Miley song? Doesn't See You Again count as Miley and not Hannah?
But I think if you go, like, look, if we were to look up Hannah Montana.
This is why
she gets her own listings. Yeah. Oh, okay. See You Again is technically a Miley song. You're right.
So, but that where it's not being added.
It's not being added at this time.
Because it is my turn. And at this time, I kind of threw the word theme out there. I said the theme of switching between two different identities, or as some white women who get a little spiritual call it, duality.
White women sort of say that.
Yeah. So speaking of themes, the next song that will be added to the list of new standards is the theme from Jurassic Park. The theme from Jurassic Park is now on the Matt and Bowen's Infinite Playlist, The New Standards.
Talk about this. Talk about this theme. Who wrote it? Why? What movie was it for? What is the movie about?
Well, it was actually for the film Jurassic Park. And it was written by John Williams, who is, you know... composer, who sort of sat down and thought, okay, so let me get the majesty and sort of, you know, grandeur of Jurassic Park down. And also, you know, the sort of call you hear in the beginning, the...
Yeah. Oh, my God.
That might have been the right pitch, even.
I think so.
Sort of calls to mind how a slow-moving herbivore dinosaur might call out. And so I also iconically see those big old gates opening when I hear this music.
Oh, my God.
And I feel the sort of hearkening back in time and also the promise of adventure. And so I think it's a great theme, and I think it is a new standard. Don't you agree?
Thank you. I agree, and thank you so much. I have nothing to add. Thank you so much for speaking at length about that.
I wanted to ask you one question before you add a song.
Yes.
If you had to write words to the Jurassic Park theme song, what would they be?
Okay. Who is that woman over there? It's Laura Dern.
Yes.
And she's has the hair. She's that woman over there.
She is Laura Dern. She is helping out with the dinosaurs. She loves to help like a doctor helps the dinosaurs. It's actually the words are Laura Dern loves to help out with the dinosaurs.
Like a doctor does.
Like a doctor, in parentheses, like a doctor does.
A doctor does.
So that's actually on the Infinite playlist. And congratulations to that song. It is now come time for you, Bowen, to add, you know, a song to the list.
I'm going to add a really important song, and that is going to be Light My Candle from the Rent original motion picture version. Mm-hmm. Not Daphne Rubin Vega and Adam Pascal, but Rosario Dawson and Adam Pascal. Just because, you know, the sound is a little bit better. It's from a movie. They didn't record it in some dusty studio on, you know, a Monday. You know what I'm saying?
Yes. And I have to say, like, my immediate impulse to this, and it is an excited impulse, is that I'm really excited to hear from Rosario after this.
I would love for her to praise us.
I want her to come praise us. And also, you know, maybe Cory Booker can like sort of pop in the Zoom. I don't know why I think of this happening on a Zoom. Maybe it's because I'm sort of wanting her to be on the pod or something.
Oh my gosh. Well, are you more excited for Rosario or for John Williams to send you a word of praise?
Well, if John Williams sent me a word of praise, that certainly would be a great act of God because he has passed. Right?
I'm so sorry. I think...
Has he passed? Can we ask this up. Producers, did John William pass?
He has not passed away. He is alive and well.
This is the second time. This is the second time I've declared someone dead on the podcast that hasn't been dead. Wait, who was the first one?
It was Hugh Hefner, and then he Hugh did Hefner! Die 6 months later.
Oh my God, on the Peter Smith episode... We were saying, we came in a hot being like, Hugh Hefner is dead. And we had to record like a pre-intro to the show, which was saying, on this episode, we say Hugh Hefner is dead. He's not. 6 months later, he did die.
I mean, this is the beauty of having a podcast and having it sort of crystallized forever.
Yeah.
There was a time when we thought Hugh Hefner was dead. There was a time when we had to say that he had not died. And then now there is a time in which he did, in fact, die after that.
Exactly. And we did end up correcting the record on that. So that's good. But Hans just kind of said, if you killed John Williams just now, .. How
God.
Dare you? How dare you for attacking not just a composer, but someone on the playlist? That's crazy. Shut up, Hans. Shut up.
I think it's, I think Light My Candle is... a really huge. Fun song. Huge song for musical theater. I think
do
it
you
really
know all the words?
I think I do know all the words.
Would you forget? Got a light. I know you. You're shivering.
Can you make it?
Can you make it?
It's nothing. They turned off my heat. And I'm just a little weak on my feet. Would you light my candle? What are you staring at?
Nothing. Your hair in the moonlight. You look familiar. Now it's, can you make it?
No.
Really?
Just haven't eaten much.
Oh, okay.
Well, let's look this up. I thought I was going to be able to do this.
Wait.
For a, wait, now hold on.
Well, we're going to get through the song.
Oh, I know you're shivering. It's nothing. They turned off my heat. I'm just a little bit confused. Would you like my candle? Are you staring at?
Yes. And then,
just haven't eaten much today. At least the room stops. Oh, yeah.
Spinning.
Wait. Anyway.
What? Nothing. Your smile reminded me of...
I always remind people of... Who is she?
She died. Her name was April.
We have to stop. Is this so, is
Dude,
this so
keep
annoying?
Keep going.
It's out again. Sorry about your friend. Would you like my candle? Yeah.
Now I don't know. Yeah.
Ow.
Oh, the wax. It's...
dripping. I like it between my
fingers. I figured. Oh well. Good night. It blew out again.
No, I think that I dropped my stash.
I know I've seen you out and about when I used to go out. Your candle's out.
A million. I had it when I walked in the door. It was pure. Is it on the floor?
The floor? Oh my
they
God, Bowen just got on all fours. Oh my God, he's gaping.
T-Street.
His gaping bumhole is out. What?
You're scared again.
Oh no. I mean, you do have a nice... I mean... You look familiar.
Like a dead girlfriend.
Only when you smile, but I'm sure I've seen you somewhere else.
Do you go to the Cat Scratch Club? That's where I work. I dance.
Yes. They used to tie you up.
It's a living.
I didn't recognize you without the handcuffs.
We could light the candle.
Come on, bitch. Give it.
I heard you.
That was my last match.
Oh, no, no, no. We missed, why don't you forget that stuff?
Oh, forget that stuff. You look like you're 16.
I'm 19. We changed the key a little
Why?
Bit.
I just changed the key.
Old for my age, but I was born to be bad.
I once was born to be bad. I used to shiver like that.
I have no heat. I told you.
I used to sweat.
I got a cold.
Uh-huh. I used to be a junkie.
And now and then I like to.
Uh-huh.
Feel good. And then it's...
And then it's what? He sees it? Oh, he's... Oh, wait.
What's that?
Kenny Bar Rapper.
We could light the candle. Oh, why'd you light the candle? And now it's...
That was my last match. I don't know what
the key went. Our eyes are just... Thank God for the moon.
Baby, it's not the moon at all. I hear Spike Lee shooting down the street.
You're changing the key every single
time. I'm sorry. Am I doing it every single time?
Bah humbug. Bah humbug.
Cold hands.
Yours too.
Is that I change the key again?
A little bit.
Like my father's.
You want to dance?
With you.
Yeah, good.
No, with my father. I'm Roger.
They call me.
Yes, bitch.
They call
yes,
me.
Bitch. Yes,
I went up the octave, honey.
You really did.
I didn't hit it. I didn't hit it right.
Unfortunately, Rosario could never, but the song is on the playlist.
You know, if you haven't tuned out at this point, we really thank you because we're only, after all, 8 songs in.
Hailee Steinfeld still reigns as champion of the list, queen of pop, and inductee into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But it's so funny that you were talking about Light My Candle, because you know who has a song called Lights? Ellie Goulding. That song is not on the list, but Army by Ellie Goulding is on the list.
Wow, Army. I love that song.
This is my favorite Ellie Goulding song, and it's good for... You can say it to a lover. You can sing it to a friend.
Aww.
When I'm with you, when I'm with you, standing on army. The riff down is impossible. She's a freak. But we love Ellie.
We love Ellie so much. Army is a wonderful addition, I think. Mm. I am a little... I'm trying to figure out what the next direction of this playlist is going to be. At least for my contribution. I'm sorry. Did you have anything more to say about Army by Ellie Goulding?
No, I like the song and feel it should be on the playlist. And what's the song you're going to add?
Well, I think I am going to do. What's tough is I want to make the playlist fun, but as we have said, this is not a cool playlist.
No.
This is not a cool playlist, but I want to add a song that I worry that the reading, that the interpretation of it will be that I'm trying to be cool. But I think that this is such a wonderful song. And it,
okay, well, I'll let you know.
It's I Want to Be Your Lover by Prince. It's such a lovely Prince song. One of my favorite Prince songs.
You got to put it on.
I'm going to put it on. Okay, so it's a lovely Prince song. It ends, it goes into the instrumental after like the third minute. So you have the option of skipping after he's done singing, or you can listen to the whole track and honor Prince himself. So I'm going to add that track.
Mm-hmm. I love that. You know, here's the thing about Prince. Prince famously had a song called Purple Rain.
Yes.
Now, here's the thing about rain. Rain is one of the words in Mariah Carey's I Can Make It Through the Rain, which was not even really in the top 50 of her songs, but it is on the playlist.
Amazing.
I can make it through the rain.
What does the song mean to you? What does it mean to you when she says she can make it through the rain?
Well, it makes me believe that I can get through anything because if Mariah Carey can get through Glitter and Tommy Mottola, then anyone can get through anything. And it really, really makes me happy that she survived. So now, Bowen, what's the next song that you are going to put on the list?
Okay, well, I think Through the Rain by Mariah Carey makes me think of someone standing on the street in the rain, being soaked by the rain, maybe a sex worker. And I think this song is an ode to sex workers. It's called Government Hooker by Lady Gaga, the third track off her amazing album, Born This Way. She has such an amazing bridge where she says, "Put your hands on me, John F. Kennedy." Such stupid, stupid, stupid lyrics. Mm-hmm. But actually, kind of like amazing and iconic. I miss this Gaga era where she was just like, "I'm going to do whatever the fuck I want on this." Chromatica kind of had that, but this is like, it's pure chaos, and I kind of love that she was able to write a song called Government Hooker and make it to the top half of this album.
I would completely agree with you. And, you know, something I really, really love about sort of when you just sort of called to mind sex work is it really brings me to the red light district. You know what I mean? It's sort of like, it sort of brings me there. And I think that no music video has sort of recalled that, and no energy has been sort of calling to mind like that zone, quite like Beyonce's Partition, which is, you know, it's on the list.
Oh, and does that song take place in the red light district?
I mean, it gives me red light district.
I see what you're saying. Well, and the music video,
if you heard it, like if you heard it out at the red light district, you'd be like, yeah, I'm at home here.
Yes, I'm at home here, and I actually feel really good about being here.
Do you think this is the only playlist that exists online with the Jurassic Park theme and Partition by Beyonce on it together?
I think we've already made history. After you added Partition, there have been other playlists with Government Hooker and the Jurassic Park theme. There have been other playlists with Army by Ellie Goulding, with, you know, certainly with Rock Bottom by Hailee Steinfeld.
Oh,
but now
yeah.
that you've added Partition by Beyonce, you've made history with this playlist, and I thank you, and I admire you very deeply for that.
That really made me emotional when you said that you admired me.
I always do.
When I'm with you, when I'm with you, I'm standing.
Fuck. Okay, Partition makes me think of drivers. And when I'm driving, I like to think of another song by another group of Texan women.
This is huge.
It's Wide Open Spaces by the Chicks, yes.
You know, they said that it was going to be too early to add another song by the Chicks to the list. They said, we're saying that earlier, but now they're saying we actually can add another song by the Chicks, and it is Not Ready to Make Nice by the Chicks.
Because, oh my God.
Name a better song.
Name a more cathartic song. I dare you. Reader, I dare you. If you could name a more cathartic song, Matt and I will pay you.
Yeah.
$100 each.
Yeah, you'll get $100 from each of us in your Venmo if you can name a more iconic song than Not Ready to Make Nice.
Cathartic song.
Cathartic? Well, cathartic and iconic, actually, the thing is they're the same, you know? Sort of the same.
Sort of the same.
Like a lot of white women, like they're like, that was so cathartic. And what they mean is like they had an iconic moment. That's just what a lot of white women say.
A lot of white women I've heard say, Marilyn Monroe was so cathartic. And I'll be like, yes, that's true.
Yeah. Yeah, they say, they look at a photo of her and a white woman will often go, such a cathartic figure. You know what I mean? She was such a cathartic figure.
It makes just enough sense, but not enough to fully be like, for you to fully emphatically agree.
Yes, 100%.
But if someone says a cathartic figure, you're like, I get, you mean tragic?
Yes.
But what they mean is cathartic.
It's like them being like, oh my God, you know what was such a cathartic moment? When Michelle fell with Destiny's Child. That was cathartic. Like, and you're like, I don't think you're using that right. But do you know my favorite misuse of a word ever, or makeup of a word ever?
Tragical.
Tragical. Oh my God, bitch, you know me.
Because you've talked about it on the pod before, but I think we've confirmed that tragical is in fact a word. Tragical is a word.
Not to me, it's not. Here's the thing. Readers, there's a podcast series long discussion on whether or not tragical is a real word, or if it's dumb people misusing tragic. And maybe it's in the dictionary because they finally were like, oh God, make tragical a word because these white women can't stop. And it was an iconic, not cathartic, iconic Italian woman that's white who did this. in
that's
my life.
That's white.
That's actually yes. Rule of culture number 52. Italian. That's white.
That's white. Cathartic and tragical are not the same thing, but cathartic is the same as iconic. I'm so sorry.
Yes.
Okay.
Deeply.
Very good.
Now, with this sort of, well, this moment has been cathartic.
This is a cathartic episode already.
This is such a cathartic episode.
Okay.
What's your next one that you're going to add to the playlist that everyone can listen to publicly?
I know that
face that you're making. It's that face
what?
Of it's that face of you want to say Thriller by Michael Jackson, but you know that will be fucked up. You know that will be so fucked up, Bowen, to say Thriller.
I have a song.
Go.
I have a song. Okay. The song I'm going to add will be the
Thriller.
It's not Thriller. It is the opening track on the amazing Grammy-winning album Fearless by Taylor Swift, and it is the title track. It is Fearless by Taylor Swift because it's another country song. It's about not having fear. Not Ready to Make Nice is about not having fear and not having guilt and not having the space in your heart to forgive. And Fearless is a song about fearlessly driving down in the open road with a new love of your life.
Yes. Thank you for that. And I'm really happy to finally sort of know what those two songs are about. Yeah. And thank you for breaking that down. Speaking of fear, I'm going to add what I pretty much am going to be positive is going to be the scariest song on the list.
Oh my God. Is it Thriller by Michael Jackson?
No, I know enough to not say that. That would be fucked up to say that. And I'm trying to be cathartic in a different way. The sort of song I'm thinking of is, of course, the very spooky anthem, Ghostbusters. Ghostbusters theme song has made it on the list. Name a more iconic moment than Ghostbusters by Ray Parker Jr. I'll wait.
I can name a more cathartic song, and that is a Huey Lewis in the News song, which Huey Lewis sued Ray Parker for, I believe. For sounding too much like the Ghostbusters theme from Sports, I believe the album is. Hans, do you know what I'm talking about?
Are you talking about Power of Love?
No, Huey Lewis in the News.
No, I know Huey Lewis because my mom was like so wet for Huey Lewis for my entire life.
Was it like Honky Tonk Blues? Doug, do you know this? Our hot engineer Doug? Okay. I want a new drug. Yes, it was I want a new drug.
One that won't make me sick. Yep, I love this song.
But Huey Lewis.
Well, the woman made me crash my car. Made me feel.
Huey Lewis maintains that the Ghostbusters theme was ripped off of I Want a New Drug.
Wow.
And Lewis did receive a settlement.
Huey Lewis did receive a settlement. It's sort of that blurred lines controversy.
Oh my God. And speaking of which, the next song on the playlist is, in fact, Blurred Lines.
No.
I know it's controversial. Yes. Yes, Blurred Lines is
I can't believe this.
Oh my God. I'm so sorry.
And the crazy thing is, actually, it's in the contract of the playlist that if Bowen adds something, I am powerless to stopping
yes.
it. Like, I can't stop it. So the same is true for me. Wow, I can't believe that Blurred Lines is on our playlist as something we endorse as a duo.
I actually, no, you know what? I take it back. This feels wrong, actually.
Wow,
I don't,
this is
I
crazy.
Don't, this is history is being made. I'm taking a song out of a playlist.
This is the first time in Matt and Bowen playlist history that a song has been added and removed.
And you know what? I'm going to add a song as an apology because I think this is a song that's calling myself out.
Okay.
This is He Wasn't Man Enough by Toni Braxton.
Yes.
He wasn't man enough to keep Blurred Lines on the playlist. And I'm not man enough to keep Blurred Lines on the playlist.
Do you want to hear something about my hashtag problematic past, as a lot of white women say? So when I was very little, when I was, I think, 9 or 10.
You would do a Toni Braxton impression?
I would do two impressions. Cher, like, no matter how hard I try that. And because they had the same kind of deep voice, I would do, he wasn't man enough for me. And my mother loved it so much that she used to say, we need to get you on Rosie. That's what my mother used to iconically say. And a lot of white women used to say that to their kids.
We need to get you. And they actually did. But they... Katrina wanted you to get on Rosie to do the Toni Braxton impression?
To do my impressions of Cher and Toni Braxton, which I have to say, I'm very happy is not a thing.
Oh my God, imagine.
But I loved Toni Braxton's deep, deep voice.
We all do.
How she could somehow have that deep, rich quality and also be belting for the gods. Never Sleep on the next song on our list. And they said it was too early, but we've since got it cleared up, which is Unbreak My Heart by Toni Braxton.
Oh my God, forget
it. I mean, this is a song that is so low and so high. And guess what, mama? It is hard to be both.
It is hard to be both. She really gives you a big, big canyon of a range, doesn't she?
Do you want to hear a little story that is also about my mother and Toni Braxton?
Yes, there's more.
We went to go see the Broadway musical Aida when I was younger, and it was currently at the time, it was starring Toni Braxton. And also in the show was Idina Menzel as Amneris. This is at the time you wouldn't get quite as excited about Idina, but I do love looking back and knowing she was in there. So I loved Aida, the show. I think it's fabulous. Or I did at the time anyway. And we were leaving, and I turned to my mother and I said, "What did you think of the show? I thought it was amazing." And she was like, "I liked the show. I thought it was pretty good. My mother was still obviously flying high from Hairspray or something. So I was like, "Well, did you think that Toni Braxton was absolutely fabulous?" I'm you know, sort of 10 years old and gay. And my mother took a deep breath. And she turned to me because she knew this was going to be controversial and that I'd be mad at her. But she said, "Matthew, I think she has a beautiful voice. I could not understand all of what she was saying." And I was like, I acted like I had paid for the tickets. I was like, "You people, you're disgusting. Don't talk to me. You fucking tasteless, crude white woman." I was like, "Get away.
Crude white woman."
And I think what she was sort of saying was Toni Braxton's diction left something to be desired, which, while being absolutely true, I didn't appreciate hearing.
Sorry, who is she? Mateo Lane in the year 2015 reading Ariana Grande for her lack of diction? No. And we love Mateo.
No, do not cut it out.
We're not cutting that out. We should disclaim that we love Mateo so dearly, and we miss him very much. But Mateo, you can admit, if you're listening to this, that you would not lay off Miss Ariana for years.
Pitch problems are like, you know, Mateo is sort of sharpening his knife.
But Mateo does it out of a place of love. I remember that Mateo would tell us, "It's because I love her. And
yes,
we believe you."
And because he saw a great future for her.
And
I mean, listen,
right. And he was right.
He's not scared to read the ones he loves the most.
No.
I mean, he's the king of the lambs, and the episode of Las Culturistas is called "It's a Shame About Mariah."
This
is someone who, you know, for better or worse, reserves criticism for the ones he loves most, because he doesn't fucking care about the people he doesn't care about.
Exactly. He cares. He's making a comment because he cares. That's what's going on.
Speaking of people I don't care about, I'd like to say the opposite of that, which is people I care about, which is Bowen Yang, because it's his turn to add something to the list.
I care about you, too.
Oh, that's about you so deeply. So deeply.
I am going to add a song that is also about a body part.
Okay.
Like "Unbreak My Heart" is. And this is a song called "This Is My Hair" by Alaska Thunderfuck.
Yes.
3000.
Fantastic.
Let's add it.
She
right
don't
now.
Wear wigs. Okay. This is her hair, in fact. She doesn't wear wigs. And stop asking if it's a wig. It's her hair.
She says it in the song. She takes her vitamins. She is a natural platinum blonde. Are the lyrics in the song, and don't you forget it.
She takes her vitamins. Maybe you should try taking your vitamins. Now, it's interesting that we talk about hair, because for me personally, I'm actually going to travel from the hair all the way to a different body part, which is skin, when I add Rihanna's song "Skin" to the list. This is a underrated Rihanna absolute smash. "Skin" is a sexy song off the Loud album, and I'm so thrilled that Rihanna makes her debut, her cathartic debut on the list.
Oh my God. And actually, I'm getting word now that it is not too early to add more Rihanna, and in fact, it's not too early to add more Loud Rihanna.
No, I feel an energy for you. I think we're thinking about the same thing, and I'm really excited.
I'm going to add one of her best collaborations. It's
nope.
What's My Name by Drake. Oh, no, you don't. Oh, no, see, you like a different Rihanna song.
Yeah, but you know what I'm going to say. And I love that we're sort of like agreeing that it's not too early or late to add Rihanna to the list. But before I do, clarify What's My Name. I mean, talk about it, because I'm so in agreement.
She was asking her lover what her name is, and she is actually expressing in no uncertain terms, she really wants to see if you can go downtown with a girl like her. Hey, boy, she really wants to be with you because you're just her type. Oh, na, 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 na.
Mm-hmm. Well, really, what she wants is a man who could take it over. Looking for a guy to sort of, is it pull me over, flip me over, put me over?
And then, an amazing song.
Now, because it's still currently true that it's not too early to put more Rihanna on the list, California King Bed is being added to the list at this time. This actually was cathartically a Rihanna single. This is when she was like, I'm actually going to release ballads like every other girl. And before she sort of, you know, moved away from that and started just doing more the Rihanna thing. I think the last Rihanna ballad was Stay, right?
Stay, yeah.
Would we consider,
I mean, like, maybe
What Now? Is that a ballad?
Things off of Anti, I feel like, are a little murkier. Anti,
I do love Close to You. Ooh.
Close to You, you know, it's ballad. She kind of tried to innovate outside of ballad spaces.
Right.
After Unapologetic.
Yes. Indeed.
Okay.
Now, I'm wondering, because it's your turn, what you're thinking about adding to the playlist.
Well, I'm actually getting word now, unfortunately, that it is too early to put in any loud Rihanna, but not too early to put in Rihanna in general. But I'm not going to do that.
Oh, wow.
I'm not going to do that, but I am going to add a song that I think we all know very, very well. We all know very, very well. And that is, you know, California King is about owning things, is about having the California King bed. And she even feels distant, even though she's on this California King bed.
That's a cathartic image.
Cathartic image. I'm going to add a song about consumerism. And that is I Don't Want It At All by Kim Petras.
Wow.
A really fun song.
Kim's debut on the list, and really her debut into the gay public consciousness, I say, because she hasn't really appeared outside of the gay public consciousness yet, but we are waiting for that to happen. But two gay people, she became sort of more famous than, the president of the United States, because she actually could be seen performing in West Hollywood, Los Angeles, California, America, often at six different bars at once. She somehow was literally everywhere. Like, you'd see her at Beaches sort of singing I Don't Want It At All. You'd see her sort of at Revolver singing I Don't Want It At All. I think they cloned Kim Petras so she could be in every West Hollywood bar and a half or half a bar.
There was at one point a Kim Petras at three different locations of the Eagle and the Rosemont Bar in Brooklyn, New York. She would be there. There'd be three of her walking around being like, hi, my name is Kim, I'm German, and I'm a pop star. And everyone would be like, who is this girl? And then she would like hit you with the vocals and you'd be like, oh my God, we love this.
Yes, and it's actually so funny because that very same Kim Petras at that very same time was also somehow at the Hard Rock Cafe in Anaheim. So it's really crazy that that's all true, but it is. Now, they actually said, they were sort of saying earlier that it was going to be too early to add Kim Petras to the list again.
But what about now?
And they're still saying that. They're still saying that, so we actually can't. We can't add more Kim Petras at this time. But sort of something that is happening is they're saying you have to go back and think more about Huey Lewis, and you have to add actually one Huey Lewis song, and that's why I am adding the song If This Is It by Huey Lewis to the list, which goes like this. If this is it, please let me know. If this ain't love, baby, just say so. And I think our hot producer, our hot engineer Doug, does know that song. Can he confirm?
Yes. Can you confirm?
I just want to connect with Doug sort of over straight heterosexual sounds for this one moment.
Because that's to me palatable for straight people. Truly.
The title is If This Is It, Doug. Are you listening to the podcast? He just asked the title question mark. Listen to the podcast.
Listen to the podcast. We're not going to tell you. Is this it? We told you.
It's If This Is It. Anyway.
If This Is It.
We're moving on and he can sort of catch up with me later.
Okay. I'm going to not do the A to C that we've been doing and I'm actually going to add a song. This is a song that is important to the country.
Okay.
It is Firework by Katy Perry.
I don't know a more patriotic song.
It's not more cathartic than Not Ready to Make Nice, but it is the most patriotic song we've ever had.
It's actually way more patriotic than that song, which is not on the playlist. And I'm proud to be an American. I think I'm like really not doing well with pitch today. Am I like sort of not in the right key at any time?
I think you were. You were in the right area.
And I'm proud to be an American, where at least I know I'm free. I don't know, but that song.
And I'm proud to be an American,
where at least I know I'm free. And I won't forget the men who died, who gave that right to me. And I proudly stand up next to you and feel her still today. Cause there ain't no doubt I love this land. But it's not
did
on
not,
the playlist.
I did not harmonize well. I'm so sorry.
And well, it doesn't matter because it's not on the playlist. But speaking of America, one song that sort of, to me, like says we're like really free is Demi Lovato's Cool for the Summer.
Name a freer song about freedom.
Name a song that's more about freedom, which is, you know, sort of I am exploring girls and I'm a girl. You know what I mean? Like that
that's pure freedom.
That is pure catharsis. You know what I mean? Like that's so cathartic to say that. Like, and to think that today, Bowen Yang sort of reminded me of Demi Lovato when he made a hilarious joke, which
spell
was
that, spell
H-E-L-A-R-E-O-S, hilarious. So hilarious. Basically, today, Bowen did like a really cathartic thing when he put on his grid Demi Lovato voting, and he said something which was so funny and cathartic, which was he said that more like Demi Lovato.
I said, it is Demi Lovato.
It is Demi Lovato.
And then deleting this.
Yeah, but you should delete it.
I have not deleted it. What would you do if I deleted it?
Be so mad. Bowen has been doing this sort of quote unquote thing, which is like, he'll be like, felt cute, might delete, which is like a very white woman. Like he always goes deleting this later, which is to me like stunting and annoying. It's like stand by it or keep it up or don't post it.
You're right.
You're just asking
Thank
for
you for
it
calling
in a way.
Me in.
You're asking for it in a strumpety way. And I just, you know.
Strumpet?
I don't know.
You're talking about like my thirst traps?
No, not those. Anytime you say a take and you're like, whatever, deleting this. It's like, bitch, keep it up.
No, you're right. I don't think so many, quote unquote,
deleting this.
Culture. Deleting this culture is bad culture.
Deleting this culture is bad culture, but I almost never make an issue of this with Bowen. But on this post where he said deleting this, I was moved to comment. And I said, no, leave it up. I will be mad in a real way if you delete this.
There you go. Didn't do it.
But anyway, let me just quickly run over to the list and add Cool for the Summer to the list,
yes.
Which I believe, and I always say, the reason why I sort of associate it with like America, because I think it's an American standard. I think that our grandparents had Somewhere Over the Rainbow and our grandchildren will have Cool for the Summer.
Yes.
That's what I always say.
Oh my God. What a great song. A great song.
100%.
Okay, I am going to add a song. It's my turn, I think.
I believe it is.
This is another song about summer, and I'm sorry to have broken the Taylor seal to be the first one to break the Taylor seal on this playlist. I'm going to add another Taylor song also about summer. It's called Cruel Summer.
Oh,
my gosh.
The song
that did not get its due. It should have been a single off of Lover, one of the sort of better tracks off of Lover.
I would say it's definitely the one that says I'm a single the most that didn't get that treatment in a weird way.
Exactly, exactly. You know, there's not much that hasn't been said about Cruel Summer. I feel like it might be the most talked about song of all time in many ways. People feel a sense of injustice of it not getting the single treatment. I think it's sort of like an intergenerational thing where across all demographics, everyone was like, why the fuck wasn't Cruel Summer a single?
Yeah.
Off of Lover.
Yeah, oh yeah, all across America they're saying that. And, you know, it's a topic that's worth having and continuing in discussion, sort of things like that. Sorry, my brain just broke in three. It just like...
In three?
I can't even tell you what just happened. Which actually is interesting.
Oh.
Because I think that once I stopped and did something, I was able to sort of get my thoughts back. And what I stopped and did was I breathed.
Oh.
And that's why I'm adding Breathe by Faith Hill to the list.
Oh my God. And it was on the actual list of the top 200 moments in culture history.
This is actually a cathartic moment in Las Culturistas history because...
It is the first song that was on...
Yes. This is the very first time that an item from the top 200... This is crazy. Moments of culture... I literally can't believe I'm about to say this, is also on the Matt and Bowen's Infinite Playlist for the very first time. That makes it the most famous song of all time.
That makes it the most famous song of all time. Tell everyone about what Faith Hill does here. I mean...
Well, one thing she does is she goes, supposed to be... Remember that?
Remember when she went... Being with you gets me that way.
Oh my God. Do you remember when she went, I can feel the sunlight dance across your face. And I never been this swept away.
Oh my God. Remember when she went, caught up in a terrorist, started 31st, maybe in that way. And then you already did the supposed to be.
Okay. Wow. What just transpired in the last 15 seconds?
I don't know.
Was Bowen
my brain...
being like, remember when she went? And Doug just said in the
wow.
chat, wow. And this is the first time he's ever directly emotionally commented on something because in the little box, we might have to release this video. Because no, Bowen Yang no, did not know one not. Of the words he was singing, and then he sort of went to discuss that and coughed and coughed. And this is actually, we might have to make a new list because that was a moment in culture.
I don't know. No, I don't want that to be on the list because that was a low moment.
It was a high moment because you were so cathartic. The way you were cathartic in that moment, it was a cathartic moment. It was.
The way I'm not cathartic right now, I don't feel cathartic. Please, you're being cathartic in the way that you're not. Oh no, who left? Hans left.
Hans, can we just say
no,
Hans?
No, oh my God, Anna left. Hans is still here. Sorry.
Wow, for some reason, Anna left the chat.
Anna,
Bowen is that kind of Bowen is the kind of still right now where he's like, everyone hates me.
Yeah. A little
no.
bit. First you erase John Williams, then you erase me. Hans, no.
Shut up, Hans. Stop. You think just because you're one of the hottest men in America that you can treat us like shit. That's only half true. Stupid. Anyway.
Stupid.
You know what is reminding me when I say the word stupid? Is the next song on the playlist, which is Stupid Girls by Pink. Oh my God. This song came out of nowhere because no
yes.
one thought that Stupid Girls would be on any list where they said like the word iconic, cathartic, those kinds of things. But Stupid Girls by Pink is on the Matt and Bowen Infinite Playlist New Standards. It's crazy.
It is. I can confirm that it is, but you'd have gone... two turns in a row. I just want to say you put in Breathe by Faith Hill and you put in Stupid Girls.
Stop everything and let me just apologize for taking up too much space, because I think what happened there is I got too excited and I accidentally, and didn't mean to, but I did steamroll you, and I now there's actually a rule for when this happens.
What's the
Bowen Yang at this time gets to decide for the only time, unless I do this again, if what I've added to the list actually is on the list or not. This is in the contract. So, Bowen Yang, okay, please take the floor. Take as long as you need to talk this out. Is Stupid Girls cathartic, iconic?
See, I want to ask if it's within the rules to maybe redact, take out one of your songs that you put in earlier. No?
Let me just check with the board. Okay, the board is saying that you can do that, but that it would be, let me just get this right, so okay, shitty of you, they said. It would be so shitty of you to do that, but you are allowed to do that. That's what the board says. The board is Meghan McCain and Abby Huntsman, by the way.
Okay, it's a two-person board, so if there's
yeah, they're
a tie
being
vote,
they're really like mad. I don't know. They seem really mad, and they're every time I look at them, they sort of harshly whisper to each other. I don't know how they got this job, but they're here and they're in charge. They're in charge of the rules
through their dad. I'm sure. I think Stupid Girls belongs on the list. I will not delete a prior track. I won't.
Oh my God. Okay. Benevolent fucking king. Oh my God. The way I want to service my benevolent king right now, call me a peasant, because my benevolent king could use me however he saw fit at this moment. I would absolutely be brought forcibly to the castle grounds to be had by my benevolent king in this moment. I honor him. It is now your turn to add a song to the list.
This is one of the most iconic songs of all time. They're actually, this might have a shot at beating out Not Ready to Make Nice in terms of the pure catharsis of the song. And that is the song Show Me Love by Robin S. By Robin S.
Woo! Fabulous.
One of the most powerful songs on the planet.
One of the most powerful, fabulous, cathartic songs on the planet. Now, this is the sort of point when in creating the playlist that it gets a little controversial. Because this song, sort of in terms of when it came out, reminds me of another song from my childhood that recently was used as a lip sync song on Canada's Drag Race. It's called If You Could Read My Mind. Now, I thought to myself, like, Bowen has to know this song. Like, it goes, if you could read my mind, love, what a tale my thoughts would tell. And this was on the iconic episode of Canada's Drag Race that we were watching, and Bowen said he had never heard this song.
I've never heard it.
Readers, please reach out. If You Could Read My Mind, it's, I guess, by, this is weird, Ultranate, Amber, and Jocelyn Enriquez. I guess it's three singers that got together and did a little moment. But if you've heard this song and think it's a famous song, please reach out and confirm for me, because Bowen had never heard this song.
I don't think it's famous, in fact. But
it was famous enough to be a lip sync on Drag Race.
Yeah, but they were, at that point, they were scraping the bottom of the barrel with, like, Canadian songs, perhaps. That's not true.
It was like, wasn't even true. It was like the third song. You know what?
You're lying.
I'm unwrapping my lips from around your benevolent king cock right now and taking myself back home, because I no longer support the king.
No. Okay. That was quick. Well, no. If You Could Read My Mind by Ultranate, Amber, and Jocelyn Enriquez. Okay, amazing. I think we're almost out of time, wouldn't you say? How many more songs do you think we should add?
Well, how long has the podcast been so far?
About
an hour and 11 minutes?
So I think we can add a few more each.
The very rude... sorry, I don't know why. Suddenly I want to call them judges because of the way they're looking at me.
But the very rude judges.
The board is saying that we can add 5 or 7 more songs, not 6.
Why is it not an even number?
Megan wants 5, Abby wants 7, and now they're in a very, like, Megan was like, okay, fine, let's do 6 then. That's in the middle of 5 and 7. And Abby said, I don't want to do 6 because Abby has a thing with even numbers. And Megan thinks it's stupid. I'm inclined to agree with her. But they're having sort of a cathartic fight right now. And so I think we should just do 7 because it feels like it's going to be more of a thing with Abby, who's sort of mad in a more quiet way. And Megan is like already angry enough where I think she's gotten it out of her system. So let's do 7 and side with Abby and just move forward.
You're in the same room as them? Is that what's happening?
Yes, this is insane. They're sitting on the floor in front of the front door. It's really weird. I don't know. And I asked,
crisscross applesauce?
Yeah, they're crisscross applesauce. And well, they were really mad when they came in because they were matching tops. They both had an orange sweater on. Abby is in sort of like black like cigarette pants, and Megan is wearing kind of a hideous skirt. Like, it's purple and green. It's purple and green.
Purple and green with orange?
I don't know what the fuck. Maybe she doesn't want to wear blue or red. It's like some sort of statement for Joe Biden because she can't just come out and endorse. I don't know what's going on with the clothes. But anyway, they're sort of...
I think she did endorse Joe Biden, though, in fact. Her and Cindy McCain.
Her mother did. And then Megan's been sort of like, you know, like, I'm having a baby. Which I guess means she can sit out the entire discourse.
Her stance is that she's having a baby, and that is political. It is. It honestly is political to have a child.
Yeah. And she is, of course, there's an open invitation for her to be on the show. She, of course, is welcome to come on and join us. And if she can charm us, we are going to kill ourselves.
Ask her to do it now. She's in the room. No. She's not ready.
She's shaking her head no.
But one day soon we'll have her on.
She's shaking her head no, and Abby is now upset that she hasn't been asked. So now it's creating a whole other passive-aggressive fight between them.
I think this is just another chapter in the story of getting Meghan McCain on this podcast, but I think we might talk to her sooner than we think.
She's saying she'll think about it.
Okay.
But they're still really upset with each other about the 5 and 7 of it all, and so...
So then what number did we land on, 5 or 7?
7. We're going to do 7 because it seems like it's going to be more of a long-term thing for Abby, whereas I think Megan will be able to get over it. It's just a very much a thing right now. Like, she's screaming and like Abby is just like sort of breathing hard. This is so weird. We're all supposed to go to Cheesecake Factory together after this during COVID. Anyway, I'll let you know.
Okay.
But we should add another song.
I think it's my turn.
Yeah, right? I think it's your turn too. Okay. I think it's your turn too.
I'm going to add... Oh, this is a beautiful song. This is I just came across this song and I think it's so sweet and beautiful.
Okay, what is it?
It's Kacey Musgraves, I Miss You.
Oh, and cathartic. Yes.
Cathartic song about, you know, things are going well in your life, but you know, you run into that person and you think about them and you think, you know, I've got so many things going for me, but I still miss you. And that's the thing that might be missing, you know?
Yeah. And actually, they said that it was going to be too early before to add more Kacey Musgraves. But actually, I just said her name again, and they both, as white women often do, started smiling so bright about Kacey Musgraves. And they're now saying to each other, they're kissing each other's cheeks like as if they're greeting for the first time. And they're saying,
oh,
we love Kacey Musgraves.
Yes.
Yeah, these two white women are really happy. And thankfully, they are the board. And they're allowing us to add another Kacey song.
Okay.
And that's why I'm adding the song Late to the Party by Kacey Musgraves.
Very cute song.
Which is one of my favorite Kacey Musgraves songs. And it's very cute when you... are, you know, sort of being smitten.
Yes.
And you think about that person during it. I'm never late to the party when I'm late to the party with you. Such a pretty song and such a good writer. And so that song is on the list. It really is.
It really is. I have a song that I think I'm going to add.
Okay.
This is The Boss by Diana Ross. A lovely song.
This is one of the... Bowen is saying this is one of the new classics.
The new classics. The new standards.
What does it mean to you, this boss?
You know, she was schooled by life. And that reminds me of another song that has that same theme by Beyoncé, who many have called the new Diana Ross.
Have many called her that?
Yes, and I think people are calling Camila Cabello the new Beyoncé.
Wow, that's crazy.
I think...
It's crazy for you, a white man.
White
woman.
White bitch.
No, you are a white bitch. That's Bowen. It's crazy for you to sort of usher Beyonce into like legend dumb and decide she's already being replaced by Camilla, who I think has a pretty problematic past.
No, Camilla is, Camilla has no skeletons in her closet. She is incredible.
Let me ask the board. Okay. Oh my gosh. It's already a huge thing. They both agree that Camilla is good, but it's a fight. Like, it's so weird. Like, I think they're fighting about whether or not they were both being excited enough about Camilla. Anyway, it's a whole thing.
Wait,
yes, Camilla's
Abby just
cathartic
texted me. Abby just texted
what?
Me. First of all, she texted me a bunch of like alarm emojis,
like the red alert emoji.
The red alert
yeah,
emoji. But then she said, technically, Chloe and Halle are being groomed to be the next Beyonce, but Camila Cabello is just a fun. What is that word? Is just a fun mirror to Beyonce because she went solo from a girl group. Okay.
The reason he didn't know what the word mirror was is because Abby Huntsman in all her text spells Mira, M-I-R-R-A. It's really, it's one of the funniest things she does, and she actually is funny.
She's
but she calls
funny.
It Mira. And honestly, if we were getting a title of app, the title of this app would be Mira.
Mira. Mira. Okay.
Cathartic. Wait, we are being so cathartic right now. So that's great. So it's on the list. Now, you said The Boss, which made me think of Work. And I'm not going to sort of put another Rihanna song on the list, but I am going to put on the list 9 to 5 by Dolly Parton.
Oh my God. Such a cathartic song.
One of the most cathartic songs from the cathartic film 9 to 5 of the same name.
That's right. You know, I think the first time anyone's ever referred to coffee as ambition. Really special.
Pour myself a cup of ambition. Yeah. Also, how does this song not have an Oscar for Best Original Song? This is like
I don't know.
The most cathartic, iconic movie song.
Does Dolly Parton have an Oscar?
She does not. You know, she was nominated again for I'm still traveling through.
9 to 5, what did win that year?
I don't know.
Okay, here, let's see. 1980s, 81. Fame won.
Honestly, also iconic though. Was it also nominated?
I'm saying 9 to 5 lost to Fame. Fame
yes,
won.
But that's what I wanted to check. That it was actually at least it was nominated.
So Fame was nominated against itself with Out Here on My Own as well. So that's
I love Out Here on My Own.
But 9 to 5, I think I might like 9 to 5 better than Fame. I'm so sorry.
It's held up more. Yeah, I would say also people are covering 9 to 5 all the time now because Dolly Parton is still cool.
Oh my God. The way I watched at least a dozen Dolly Parton interview videos one day because I was just like in a weird mood. And then I was like, this will make me feel better.
Yeah, you were in a Dolly mood.
There's something, there are not that many, I'm getting like really serious. There are not that many American figures who are like universally beloved.
Mm-hmm.
Like across age gaps, whatever. I mean, we love Dolly, don't we?
We truly do. And one of those other American treasures, who's going to make her?
What are you doing? What were you going to bring up?
Well, what I was going to say is one of the greatest American treasures, and this is her debut. What I was saying is. Bowen Yang is going to choose the next song. That's what I was saying. Let me check for the board. That was what they both agree. They're nodding.
You could
so
have
emphatically.
Left out the debut part, and that would have worked. You for some reason decided to keep.
No, the board agrees that that's what I was saying, and they're literally nodding their heads so vehemently that both their statement necklaces are flying around their chins.
Okay.
So please just add the song and stop with this. Because it's too much conflict for what is a cathartic episode. Iconic.
I'm adding It's Oh So Quiet by Bjork.
Okay.
A lovely sort of big band style song, but it's Bjork. She's screaming throughout it. Bjork is, I think, maybe the Dolly Parton of the world. Parton is the Dolly Parton of America, but I think Bjork is the Dolly Parton of the world. Do you agree?
Totally. Do you want to add another song?
No. It's your turn now. Who are you going to add?
He didn't fall for the trick.
What's the trick?
Well, I was going to see if you said, yeah, sure. And then you added another one. And then I said, just kidding, bitch. It's the rules. And I would take Bjork, It's Oh So Quiet, right off.
You know that. But wait. The rules are if someone goes adds a song out of turn, then the person has to, then that extra song stays on the playlist, but the other person has the option of taking that song out. That's just what the rule is.
What is the rule? They're saying that if someone puts two songs in a row on the list, the other person has the opportunity to take that song they just added off. You later amended the rules, and Megan got so excited there was going to be an amendment, and they both got so excited about amendments because they love the government that they were like, yeah, 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 he can do that. They were just excited to have their first amendment.
Oh my God. Literally.
Anyway, it's my turn now, and I'm adding Tina Turner, Private Dancer.
Talk about the song. What does it mean to you?
Oh, this is an iconic, sexy song.
Yeah.
And it actually, the first time you hear from Tina in the song, she is her going,
wow.
You keep your mind on the money. It's so good. I'm your private dancer, a dancer for money. Do what you want me to do. I'm your private dancer, dancer for money. And any old music will do.
We gotta get you on Rosie.
I'm your private dancer. And then she goes all the way up there. Oof.
You sound it amazing. That was good. Stop. What?
Cathartic. No, I was making the Tina sound.
Ooh. Oh, sorry.
So what can we? We can add four more.
No, we can add one more.
Did we add all those?
We added six. Since
board, how many did we? They're saying we only added four.
No, that's
so
not
we have to
true.
Do three more. The board is saying.
The board is not counting. We've added six songs.
They're putting on their leather jackets to leave. Hold on.
Over
stop.
Orange sweaters?
One or three more. They said they can agree on two.
Two.
So we can add two more. Abby is literally huffing and puffing, but I'm deciding I don't care.
Okay.
Let's just add two more.
Well, this was going to be my last song anyway, so this is going to be because I'm getting word. This is not from the board. I'm getting it from I'm being wired into a different thing, but they're telling me that it's not too early to add in, wait for it, Charlie XCX again. And I'm going to add Boys by Charlie XCX to this playlist.
Oh my God, that song is on the list. And also,
a new standard.
Whoa. You know who's literally so shook right now is Hailee Steinfeld, whose placement as queen of pop is truly threatened and champion of the list is truly threatened by this sort of cathartic last minute movement of Bowen Yang to add more Charlie XCX to the list. They are now tied for queen of pop. They are now tied for champion of the list and tied for getting inducted into the Hall of Fame.
So... there's so much suspense leading up to this last song. I feel like you have some choices ahead of you, don't you?
Let's just say I have a lot of really big choices ahead of me because I could choose to add to the list a Hailee Steinfeld song and cement her place as the queen of pop. I could choose to add another
Rihanna song. Wait,
Rihanna
is Rihanna? No, Rihanna's tied with Charlie and Hailee. We've forgotten about Rihanna.
No, I'm getting there. I'm saying we have Rihanna and we also have Charlie XCX. So I guess this is the definitive moment where we find out here live on this podcast, Las Culturistas. This is insane. Who is the queen of pop? Is it Hailee Steinfeld, Rihanna, or Charlie XCX?
Oh my God. I'm
and at
so
this time,
nervous.
This is, I am so nervous right now. At this time, I can reveal that the final song on the list is, oh my God, Bowen.
Oh my God, I'm so scared.
Straight Up by Paula Abdul.
Oh my gosh.
This is crazy.
Wait.
Straight Up by Paula Abdul is the final song on the list. That means we do not have...
We have a three-way tie of Queen of Pop, Rock and Roll Inductee Hall of Fame.
No, I'm checking with the board just to make sure this is true, but wait. Okay, it is true. Oh my gosh. Because there was no definitive Queen of Pop, none of them are the Queen of Pop.
Damn it. Will we ever find out who
we that- may never find out. We might have to do an episode which is sort of just trying to find out who the Queen of Pop is, because we thought it was going to be one of Charlie XCX, Rihanna, or Haley Steinfeld. But now with Paula Abdul sort of coming onto the list at the last second, we have to throw everything out. We have to do a whole other episode to discover who's the Queen of Pop.
I think it might be an adventure with many characters, many winding turns in the story. I think it's going to be a story.
But wow. What a moment that we created a 2 hour, 37 minute,
40 song playlist
that is truly eclectic.
I think it's very eclectic.
And I think very cathartic.
The only men on this playlist are, I'll list them all. John Williams, Adam Pascal, Prince, Ray Parker Jr., Huey Lewis in the News, and perhaps Ultranate.
No, that's you clearly don't know the song.
I misgendered. I'm so sorry. But those are the only men.
And I just want to say that that's not because Bowen Yang didn't want to add Blurred Lines by Robin Thicke.
And I actually own up to that really lapse in judgment. And I feel like we've perfected the playlist because of that sort of corrective awareness in ourselves.
You, though, one thing I always say about you, Bowen Yang, is you've always been susceptible to party boat culture.
I know.
And I think that because Blurred Lines is an iconic party boat song, that's where you slipped up.
Even I've never once been on a party boat. Oh, except for like Circle Line cruises. But I've never been on a yacht. I've never been on, you know, a pontoon or anything. So I am susceptible to party boat culture, but I've not actually been on that many party boats.
Well, so many times people are more susceptible to the culture they aspire to. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So that's sort of like, for me, I am always wearing skis all the time, and I've never once skied, but I do aspire to ski culture. I'd like to one day be in a sort of ski chalet. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? So that's why I wear skis sort of wherever I go.
So that's the culture.
It's incredible that we've collaborated on this list. In glancing at the list, how do you feel?
I feel that it is a perfect list. I'm looking at every single one of these tracks. They are all the new standards. And we will all pass these songs down to the next generation.
These are the new standards.
These are the new standards, and that you will all, everyone, this is my challenge to the readers, that we are all off book on these songs.
Mm-hmm. Just going to say.
In 2022. And then at which point we will introduce a new series of standards.
On November
2nd.
Let's just say our first episode of November in 2022, we're going to be making a new playlist.
Yes.
In 2 years. So you guys have till then to sort of get off book on this one before we can even attempt another one.
Thank you so much for listening to this. Please familiarize yourself with these songs if you haven't already. And any closing, I don't think so any this week.
No, actually, there's no, I don't, let me check with the board. Okay. They said that they can't talk about it right now. They're upset with each other again because Megan is upset with Abby because she didn't make a reservation at
Cheesecake Factory.
So, yeah. So,
no,
and they're really busy right now at the Grove during COVID. So, okay, never mind. They said they want to leave. That's actually okay.
Okay. That's actually okay.
So they're leaving anyway. That was the door closing. But anyway, wow. They did say their energy says we shouldn't do it. I don't think so. Anyway.
Okay. That's good, because I actually agree with them for once. So we thank you so much, reader, for listening.
Thank you, Abby and Megan, for coming
and
being on
board
for that. We didn't invite you guys, but it was nice that you showed up and looked okay.
They looked okay. It's usually customary of us to end on a song, but I don't really... Do you think it's appropriate to end on a song on this episode?
I think it is appropriate. And I think that you and I are actually going to simultaneously start singing one song from the list that we think is the most iconic song. Cathartic, I should say. Look at it right now. Pick the one you feel is the most iconic, and I'm going to as well. And on three, we're going to start singing that song. Let me look. And
I have it.
Got it. Three, two, one.
Forgive.
Oh, honey, I'll do anything
sounds
for you.
Good. forget.
Oh, honey, I'll do anything for you.
I don't think I could.
Just tell me what you want me to do.
Kiss me
again. I'm not ready to make it nice. And the challenge is issued to our readers. Mash up I'm on a roll with not ready to make nice. Ready, go!